Next Tuesday, Republicans in eastern Maryland will vote in a congressional primary. It's a choice between a 12-year incumbent, Wayne Gilchrist, and a more conservative first-time candidate, David Fisher. It's a mostly Republican district, so GOP primary voters will probably pick the next congressman. That's one reason the primary drew attention early on from a national anti-tax group called the Club for Growth. NPR's Peter Overby reports from Annapolis, Maryland.
At an hour when most people in Maryland's capital city are just starting their workday, David Fisher is already in full swing. He's courting a small group of the state's conservative activists. He wants their help in his bid to replace 12-year Congressman Wayne Gilchrist in Washington.
I'll go down there and fight like I can and stand up for the taxpayers of Maryland and the United States.
This is the kind of selling a candidate does, especially when taking on a popular incumbent of his own party in a primary. But Fisher gave a much more important sales pitch, maybe the most important of his campaign, a full 12 weeks earlier and three states away, in Midtown Manhattan. He easily recalls how he felt walking into the conference room.
It's certainly an event not for the faint of heart. You know you're in a high-powered group. Quite frankly, I was a little bit nervous.
And he was entitled to be. On that morning in New York, he was facing some two dozen leaders of a private group called the Club for Growth. On their say-so, club members across the nation, people who had never heard of David Fisher before, could suddenly become major financiers of his campaign. Fisher and six other Republican hopefuls were invited to New York that day to let club members assess their viability. Interest groups do this routinely, but always behind closed doors. This time, both the club and Fisher agreed to admit NPR News and one newspaper reporter. Fisher is a lawyer. He knew the club cares most about tax and fiscal policy. He vowed that, as he put it, he would do anything to help out the Club for Growth.
I stand for basically every single principle that the Club for Growth stands for.
You relate exactly what those principles are, so we can confirm that our belief and your belief are the same.
Sometimes that's a problem with some of these politicians. Okay.
Well, I consider myself a Reagan Republican. I think a persuasive argument could be made to even eliminate capital gains taxes.
Fisher caught the eye of club members because they consider Gilchrist a Republican in name only, a rhino. The club works to weed out rhinos in primaries, especially in districts like this one, where the Republican nominee has no real Democratic opposition. Fisher told the club members that he would spend at least $200,000 of his own money for the race. He claimed to be drawing quiet support from influential interest groups. He referred to one in particular.
I've talked to their lobbyist, and she's already given me the name of about 10 to 15 contacts to help me out. She's not going to do anything officially yet, but she's given
After the interview, Fisher got a handshake and thanks from the club's president, economist Stephen Moore.
I appreciate your coming all the way from the Eastern Shore to be here with us today, and we'll be in touch next week with you to talk more about the race.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In the afternoon, it was time to rate the candidates. Moore said that of all the candidates they'd come across, these were the cream of the crop. He asked what members thought of Fisher. Someone said he had a real killer instinct. Someone else said he didn't seem to understand the club's economic theories, but did seem willing to. Other members chimed in.
Well, I was impressed with his personal commitment of $200,000 because I don't think there would be a financial base of support for him there.
Right.
So if you combine that with what Club for Growth could do, I think it starts to become pretty impressive. And I agree, it's on nobody's radar screen, it wasn't on mine.
How many of you gave Dave Fisher a 5? How many gave him a 4? Any 3 or less? Why?
I didn't dislike him. Frankly, he wasn't the smartest guy I'd ever heard speak.
Right.
But he did seem to me to have the right instincts, and that's probably more important.
Later in the summer, the club ran a poll in Maryland's 1st District. It sent a consultant to look things over, see if Fisher had any skeletons. Fisher checked out, so the club signed on. A memo went out to members across the country, and now Fisher is counting his blessings.
Their members have raised more than $130,000 for my campaign so far, and we expect they'll be able to raise additional funds. It certainly gave us a boost in the arm.
Fisher is spending some of the money on radio ads. His campaign and the Club for Growth aren't allowed to coordinate advertising strategies, but they're hitting on the same theme, painting Gilchrist as a closet liberal. One of Fisher's ads uses a Bill Clinton impersonator.
I just can't understand why Wayne is a Republican. But then again, it all depends on what the meaning of is. Is.
But while the Club for Growth's money helps Fisher, the club's hard-edged reputation may be helping Gilchrist. He's openly campaigning against the club. He calls it arrogant and simplistic. He says Fisher is ignoring important local issues, like environmental protection of the Chesapeake Bay. At a fundraiser outside Annapolis, Gilchrist is wondering, who is the Republican icon that the club measures him against?
Was it Lincoln? Was it Teddy Roosevelt? Was it President Eisenhower?
I think they would say the icon is Ronald Reagan.
Well, even if it's Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan said there should be an 11th commandment. Thou shalt not demean or diminish another Republican.
This particular fundraiser actually isn't for Gilchrist. It's for two state legislative candidates. One of them, Nancy Almgren, introduces him to the crowd.
This man is my idol. This person is a pragmatist. He gathers the information and he makes the decision that is best for his constituents. That is the kind of politician I want to be. And I would like to introduce Wayne Gilchrist.
Gilchrist used to be a history teacher. He savors that image and jokes that running against David Fisher isn't as dangerous as, say, going west in a covered wagon.
A rattlesnake bites the horse, the wagon train completely falls down into a cliff, you're left there with no water, no supplies, and everybody's injured. What's more inconvenient, that or a congressional campaign? Where you go to people's homes and they feed you.
Gilchrist raises money in ways that few politicians dare to do. He says he won't take money from anyone who isn't eligible to vote for him, and he avoids the Washington cash and cocktails scene. But now, ironically, thanks to the Club for Growth, Gilchrist is getting some outside help. The Republican Main Street Partnership, a moderate group based in Washington, says it will spend whatever it takes. The club's director, Sarah Chamberlain Resnick, says the Club for Growth has been hounding moderate Republicans for too long. The partnership would have gotten involved earlier, she says, but it didn't have enough money.
We do now, and we kind of had to stand up and say, we can't, this isn't acceptable anymore.
Back in the spring, when Club for Growth leaders met in New York, they wanted to stir up a hornet's nest in Maryland, close to home base of the Washington media. It's possible that they miscalculated. Fisher is trailing in the polls. But the Club for Growth will move on to other races, other challengers. And as for Gilchrist, if he wins re-election, he may be more mindful of the interest group that set its sights on him so long ago. Peter Overby, NPR News, Annapolis.